listen. Do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell?
I don't know. I don't know what to say. It was a dangerous situation, and it was one of those things that it was a simmer, and then had there been taquitos there, it would have hit the boiling point.
Probably. Yeah. This is so good.
Yeah, they're pretty amazing. Hello and welcome to episode 11. Mare.
11. 1-1.
1-1.
2011.
The old tween. We're tweens.
Yeah.
Does that make us a tween now?
I think so.
Were we a tween last week?
Wait, what is a tween between?
It's between... You're
10,
not
and,
a,
10 and 13?
Yeah.
9 and 13? What
between? I think it's when you're in double digits, but you're not yet 13. You're not yet technically.
So between 9 and 13. Well, should we say that?
Not inclusive. Like 9 and 13 are not included. Yes.
Right.
Yeah, just
okay, I don't know about tweens.
I feel like if of the people that I know, you might have your finger more steadily on the pulse of tween? What tweens are.
Maybe because I'm going to murder them.
Are you?
Yeah, I've got my hand around their throats.
I think there's very little, like just on the surface, if someone told me about you, that would let me know that you weren't a tween.
What? What are you saying?
You like Pokemons?
I see.
Comics.
I see. I like internet.
You like drawings of cats.
That's just the internet.
That's just how
it is. That's just Tumblr in
That's
general.
Probably my favorite thing about the internet. My other favorite thing about the internet, Murray, is feedback. What?
Feedback. Okay.
In Corey's old feedback. I have to say that this week, the pickings were a little slim. For
slim
both
pickings.
Slim pickings for both the feed bag and the secret bag.
The secret bag.
We had to go back to the vaults. We had to hit the old kiss and tell vaults to get some classics, some old...
Is that like the Disney vault?
Yeah, it's like...
People have been waiting for this feedback for this feedback. 40 years.
So, number one in the Croatian Mets Memorial feedback. BJ Neighbor Chick again accidentally submitted my confession before I was done. Anyway, the situation has brought so many emotions back up to the surface, and I wonder if I still love this guy. Is it possible to love more than one person at the same time? So this has sparked a bit of confusion and contention here at Kiss and Tell World Headquarters.
Yeah.
Because what we don't know is when she says accidentally submitted confession, this could either one be, you know, weeks ago, the initial confession that she wanted to give her neighbor a blowjob, her husband's away, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. Or my initial response was that it referred to that email that we got last week that was the person saying, I did it. I don't regret it. It was just like old times.
Yeah. I'm.
And I was worried that it was this person.
It seemed that way. I mean, otherwise. Because that person was so vague from before.
I know, but when I thought it was this person, when I thought it was the blowjob person, you scolded me. You laughed at me.
No.
You chided me. and now it looks like maybe I was right all along. Right?
Well, this is such a strange development.
I think we need to just come down one side or the other. Should we go with that she isn't a horrible person and that she didn't just give her neighbor a blowjob yesterday? Well,
I don't think I said she was a horrible person, even if she did, because she liked it. Remember?
And she doesn't feel bad about it.
Yeah, so she's fine.
Okay, well, let's try to skirt that. Okay. We'll call this like Schrodinger's blowjob. Like, until we can actually look in the box and know whether or not a blowjob is being given, we're actually in a quantum state where there is and isn't a blowjob being performed simultaneously.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Schrodinger's cat?
So is it like a guilty until proven blowjob?
No, it's like it's Schrodinger's cat is in the box.
No,
do you
yeah.
know this? Okay, I, yeah, yeah. You, just, you don't know if the cat's dead or alive
I know
until you open it.
Every single theory about cats.
Okay. Quantum or otherwise.
Quantum cat.
Okay, so we're going to call this Schrodinger's blowjob.
We need some more feedback from this person.
We do. So we're going to table that for a minute. Okay. And we're going to go to this other part, which I have something to say about, and I think you might too.
Yep.
Is it possible to love more than one person at the same time?
Yes, it is.
Do you want to elaborate on that, or are you just going to go with yes?
Yes, that's it.
That's it.
Well, I'll let you talk, and then I'll come back to it.
No, okay. Well, here's my take on it, because I've really thought about this a lot. And mm-hmm. I've found myself in positions where mm-hmm. I've wanted to know the answer to that, and I've seen my friends in positions. Here's what I think. Love is way more complicated than just this on and off switch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a complicated mm-hmm. system.
Yeah.
And what I've decided, is it possible to love more than one person at the same time? If you allow it, then it is. Like, if you say that it's possible, or you make space for that to be possible, it's possible. if you immediately tell yourself, or you're a person that just has it ingrained in you that it is not possible, I think it is not. And even by telling yourself like, no, I only love my girlfriend, or no, I only love my husband, you're causing that. So I think it both is possible and isn't, depending on how the person has conditioned themselves. And if you're feeling all these feelings and letting all this stuff happen, I think that this blowjob chick has put herself in the position where it is possible. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So,
like part of my upbringing was that I like never saw any couples that were happy, and eventually began to believe that not that love doesn't exist, but that being with one person is very difficult and sometimes does not work.
I think it's very difficult to feel the exact same thing for multiple people at the same thing. I think you can have strong emotions for multiple people, but I don't think it's the exact same thing. And I think something made you marry your husband, like to commit to that. And even after you'd had this other guy, like it's up to you. I think I will go in the camp of you work hard for something and it makes it more valuable. So I don't know if it's worth it to just scoot on over and give a blowjob.
I'm going to go back to my yes.
Yes.
And
it's okay.
Yes, it's possible to love two people at the same time. Not even two, three, four.
Hundreds. Moving on. Okay. Number two in the Corey's old feedback. Mari's secret admirer again. And actually, just to reiterate, this was not actually Mari's.
Yeah, this person needs a better moniker. Why do they keep saying
I don't know. This? I actually wouldn't have the guts to kiss this guy, even if I knew whether or not he's interested in me. I mean, I've never even hugged him. I'm not even sure if I've even shaken his hand. We're both equally painfully shy people. What are they going to do, Mari? She likes him, but he's shy. She's shy. She doesn't know if she shall. It's a rough situation. What do you think about this?
She needs to just ask him out, because he's not going to do it unless he's listening to the podcast.
Do you think he is? Do you think he's too shy to listen to podcasts?
He's just so embarrassed.
Here's what I think about this. Okay, first of all, I think you've built a little program for yourself in this email without even knowing about it.
Who has?
I think the person who wrote in has built a very, reasonable program to get up to kissing this guy.
Oh, shaking his hand first?
You shake his hand first.
That's weird.
And then, no, because you can feel it out. You shake his hand, and while you're shaking his hand, you can kind of see like
what kind of dude he is.
Yeah, no, just get a feel for it. And if the handshake's going really well, you can pull him in a little tighter and give him one of those hugs where you're still shaking hands, but you're also kind of reaching around and grabbing his back.
Like if you see an old business partner.
Yeah, like that, but it's way more, it's a lot longer and kind of you linger there a little bit. Okay. And then in that hug, you can kind of see how the hug goes while you continue to shake hands. Uh-huh. And then if it's feeling really right, then you kiss while still shaking hands and hugging.
Have you ever done a handshake kiss?
I haven't, but I just imagined it.
I kind of want to try this.
It sounds like a beautiful thing. To escalate from handshake to kiss. And just,
I don't know how quickly you could do that.
I feel like you could, because I've seen some pretty amazing secret handshakes where you go from, through 10 or 15 moves in a matter of seconds.
I don't think this can be done.
Okay. I have actually a piece of advice, and it's going to sound passive aggressive or a cop out, but if you are really feeling this paralyzed and this shy, you can write him a letter.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that gives you a way that you can get down all the things that you want to say.
Yeah.
And not feel pressured about, you have all the time in the world to write it out, get it just the way you want it, give it to him so he can read it on his own time, process it just the way he wants it without all the pressure of close human contact. And then you can come together later. Maybe he could write you a letter, whatever. Okay. I've had that kind of play out a couple times.
Should she include a do you like me, yes or no? And I don't mean that as a joke. Like, do you think that would help?
There's one or two ways she could do it. Okay. I think she could do it where she just says everything she wants to say. And then at the end basically says, I don't expect you to respond. You don't need to respond. This is just something I need to get off my chest. That's one way it could go, if that's the way she wants to go. The other way is to say, please let me know where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Please let me know what your stance is.
Right.
That's what it's all.
That seems fine. Yeah. And if you write a letter like this, don't make it anonymous.
No, don't do that. Good luck. I wish you the best with a handshake kiss.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Come on.
This one actually is from an admirer of Mari's.
Oh, yeah. Yay.
And it says, I only listen to the show for Mari's incongruously sultry voice.
Buh.
And I think I've talked to, I used a lot of adjectives in describing your voice, but sultry was not one of them, because I think of that as like a Southern belle.
Sultry?
A little bit.
I associate the word sultry with women.
Yeah, women, but maybe from Georgia.
Not even girls.
Maybe like women. like a designing woman. Does that not ring any bells?
No, you've talked about this television show. Is that right?
It may be a contemporary of Golden Girls, but for middle-aged women from the South who were interior designers.
Designing women, because that sounds like
you're actually physically designing them.
Yeah, that sounds like you're making houses shaped like women or something.
Do you think, just for this person's benefit, do you think you should? Do you want to say something that's particularly sultry sounding? Just something kind of smooth, kind of.
Hi, I want to kiss you on the butt.
On the butt.
Yeah.
Okay, that was very sultry. That was very nice. And a final entry, and so this is. In parentheses at the top, it says, regarding Mare's call for fan mail.
Can I just say, I didn't make a call for fan mail.
You basically did. I saw the tweet that you said, if you have any sexy fan mail, please send it to Kiss and Tell.
I said, it was after we got that last feedback. I was like, okay, this is nice and all, but you know, we want some real, I just wanted to plug the podcast a little bit.
Okay.
And I wanted to say that if you have fan mail, you can send it to my email directly. You don't have to go to Kiss and Tell.
Well, this person did not. Read that correctly. So here's, I'm gonna read it anyway.
Just go for it.
They even signed it Sincerely Anonymous. Mare.
Uh-huh.
Despite being a freshly branded functioning adult, it appears as if there's one thing I'm not too grown up for, an internet crush. I thought I was above them at this point, but no, you wouldn't prove me wrong. I came for the Pokemon and stayed for the sincerity found in the rest of your work. I quite loved On Paper and the other comics you've put online. Your work has such sincerity and directness to it that I can't help but be attracted. And then I discovered later that you are also super cute. If I lived nearby, you'd bet I'd be hitting you up to trade Pokemon and King Cat back issues. Sincerely, Anonymous. Postscript. I'm just a vegetarian, but I'd totally even give up honey for you.
Wow.
How do you feel about that, Mark?
They used a semicolon in that email.
Yeah.
That's some fancy flying.
There were some proper quotes. There was lots of punctuation. Mm-hmm. We did see sincerity twice. I'm going to knock a few points off for that. But I'm going to give this, I think this is still an A+.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't really mind when people don't, like, I don't know. When someone has like a thesaurus and you know it, I don't really care for that either.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes nice when it's just straight off the dome.
It sounded, well, there's a lot of sincerity in this email. And yeah, the thing I liked about it was the sincerity, man.
I liked how sincere it was.
Yeah, I thought that was
this person sounds nice.
That was our short stack of feedback. Do we want to roll into Secret Town?
Most of that feedback was for me, just saying.
About 50% of it. And a quarter of it you asked for specifically.
Okay, secret number one. This is number one, right? I'm doing this, right? Okay.
Sure.
I met a girl on Facebook recently. She's really nice. We've hung out a few times. She bakes me vegan sugar cookies. She wants to have sex, but I won't get down and dirty with her because she's got really big breasts. Like, OMG.
So, what? Okay, gut reaction. What's your take on this?
What's wrong with that? This doesn't sound bad.
Well, what's funny, I don't know. Maybe this is something nice for those ladies out there who weren't so happy with their cup size. If you recall a number of episodes ago, there's A cup, B cup girl.
Yeah.
This guy's hating on girls because she's stat.
Like, OMG? What's wrong with OMG?
Like, oh my God. Do you think they're just truly threateningly large, like dangerously large?
She makes vegan sugar cookies.
She sounds nice. She's nice. We've hung out. Vegan sugar cookies. She wants to have sex. Did you think she just casually mentioned that while feeding him some cookies? Or,
yeah. How does this even come up?
I don't know. Do you think that the cookies were shaped like breasts or?
I think the cookies spelled out, "Hey, want to have sex."
That's a subtle way to do it. Maybe that's something that the shy girl could go.
That would be awesome.
How big are your breasts? Maybe, I don't know. Well,
I want to send a love letter where everything's spelled out in cookies.
That sounds like a lot of work, but it sounds like that would really...
It'd be short.
Once a girl wrote me a note, probably one of this was a young lady that I've talked about before when mm-hmm. I was around 17. And she used to send me a lot of little treasures and notes, and I would find little surprises from her. Mm-hmm. But I think probably one of the best was that without letting me know, she came over to my house while it was snowing outside mm-hmm. and stomped in the snow. It must have taken an hour,
mm-hmm.
half an hour, an hour. She's clearly out there for a long time, but stomped a message to me in the snow and then left and went to her house and called me and told me to look out the window.
She Calvin and Hobbes'd it?
Yeah, it was really nice.
I don't think anyone's done anything like that for me.
Well,
I'm not crazy about huge romantic gestures, though.
That's because you don't like romance, Maureen. You're not romantic.
I like romance, but I like things like, you know, watching silly movies together, like the Owl movie
hmm.
and, you know, eating food.
And you're just trying to keep the bar low, I think.
Sitting around. No, the bar is pretty high.
Okay, so back to the breasts. I think if you're just not into it, you're not into it. And that's if, although if you haven't given them a chance, I mean, their boobs are pretty cool.
What's wrong with big boobs?
They're pretty great. I mean, they're great. Boobs are great of all sizes. Boobs are just pretty great. And I don't know that you should be down on any one class of boobs.
Although this person does go on to say that they've only hung out a few times.
That might be a little... That was kind of quick.
That's a little early.
You don't have to have sex with anybody. Just be sure that there's not some kind of implicit thing. Like, make sure that there's not... Read the fine print, I think, is all you need to do on that.
The fine print on the cookies?
Yeah, read the fine print on the cookies.
Okay.
What's next?
I've never been in a fight before, but secretly want to be tough and get in scruffs all the time. I idealize the strong and enthusiastic heroes I've shown in comics, but I'm a 130-pound skinny boy.
Do you have any thoughts on this?
I think I'm about that weight, 130, something like that.
Well, I've been beat up by females that were smaller than that who were black belts.
Have you? Oh, that's right.
And okay. So I think... Your size and skinniness isn't really the issue. If you really, this is one of those things that it kind of bothers me when people do this, when they wish for, when they just wish for something, but when they wish for something that is completely obtainable, like, wishing for $1 million, whatever, is kind of nonsense, but wishing for something that is actually truly within human grasp always seems silly to me. And I think that if this is something you really want to do, I mean, there's plenty of places that you can go train. Like go take a Taekwondo class. Go take some variant of Kung Fu class. That's a thing that you can do.
Yeah.
And totally. It's just a matter of time. And I know particularly the older I get, the more I realize that you have to frame these things from almost a different perspective. Like it's going to be work. It's going to be a lot of hard work for a lot of years, but say you're 20 years old now, you're going to be 25 years old. There's nothing that is going to stop you from being 25 years old unless you die. Like time will pass, you will age. So one day you will look around and you will be 25 and you have the choice right now of either being a 25-year-old who knows how to fight or a 25-year-old who doesn't. And what happens in between is totally up to you. And I've had enough of those milestones in my life where I've been like, oh man, I wish I would, whatever. Mm-hmm. I wish I could, whatever. And then age 17, wish I could play piano. And then I'm 20 years old, I wish I could play piano. Like it just keeps, it doesn't go away until one day you sit down and start practicing.
Yeah.
Or go to a class or do whatever.
What else have you wanted to do? Do you have anything like that right now?
I just wrote a book. Like that was one of those things.
I know.
And actually that's,
I am aware.
I know you read it. One of the few. And actually this, my book even talks about this very subject.
Yeah. Like playing piano and.
Yeah. And sort of there's plenty of, that's 2 years ago. I made it like a point in the summer. Anytime I found myself saying I've always wanted to, I would just do it. And that included serenading a girl outside of her window, even though she was a lesbian and it was not very effective.
Yeah.
Singing at an open mic, taking martial arts classes, traveling to Italy, which I did last summer. Just any of these things that you wish, you got to just do them. And it sounds like such a simple, stupid thing, but in some ways it's the hardest thing in the world to just start. But when you understand that it's not going to do itself. And there's, on the one hand, there's things like, oh, today I want this and it's just going to go away. It's a passing fancy. But when you notice consistently for a few years that you find yourself kind of longing for a certain thing and you haven't done anything about it, it's nobody's fault but yours.
Right. Okay.
Right.
I feel like Scott's yelling at me right now.
The reason I feel strongly about this, and I'm not yelling at you, 130-pound person, I'm yelling at me for this. In case it hasn't become obvious, lots of what we talk about on the show is me trying to remind myself of things.
Right.
Is that a problem?
No, it's just that you're looking right at me and you're yelling at me.
I'm sorry, Mari. I didn't mean to yell at you.
Because maybe it's just me feeling guilty because I've always wanted to be a rapper and
Mari,
I don't know.
Drop some dope rhymes.
I'm not gonna drop any rhymes right now.
Why not?
Not right now.
Well, you don't have to right now, but just do it.
It is something I will do. I'm not gonna. I'll be fine.
No, that's great. That's great. And I think have those goals, set them. What's that site? There's a site all about that. 43 things.
Is it 43 things? But that's. I mean, that's like a bucket list.
Yeah, but I think that you can do kind of a sweep and just set those down and take a look at them. And then you'll look at some of them and they'll be like, yeah, whatever. But then you can look at some of them and maybe think, oh, That's how it was me for me with just wanting to have a little book. It's mm-hmm. not a big deal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just a little book. Now I want to have an album, and it's something I've wanted for 10 years, and I have 10 years worth of half-done songs for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of my next priorities is to bring them all together and yeah, do yeah. it, you know?
Yeah.
You got to just do it, because one day you're going to be old like me, and you'll just look back on your mm-hmm. shambles of a life and wish that you'd spent more time practicing. I didn't mean to yell at you, Mariam. That's I apologize fine. For that.
I'm just going
to
cry.
I'm just trying to encourage people. I'm trying to be encouraging.
As I've graduated college and am now moving into the working world, I have secretly begun to hate all my friends still at home for not taking opportunities and moving along like I have. I try to help them and talk to them about it, but they shun my advice, unsure of what to do, as it is driving me nuts but causing me to be alone too much.
Okay, Mari, I think you and I are kind of in the same camp on this. What do you think about this?
Scott and I both moved away from our homes to go to college. And, you know, it was art school, so it's kind of different from a lot of people's normal experience. And I've voiced similar concerns as this person about people I know that I went to high school with or people from middle school. And, you know, I want them to get out and to see other cities and countries, I guess, and experience new things. But the problem is that, you know, sometimes you just don't have the money for it, so... Maybe this person's friends, they just can't afford it. And that's the sad truth.
I hate money as an excuse for anything. I think it's the lamest excuse for anything in the world. Truly, like people who let money get in the way of something that they need to have a fulfilling, good, to have the life they want, makes me furious. Money's so stupid. Money's not worth leading a life that's not good for you. You can travel cheap. You can get a crappy job and save up for 3 months and go on a big trip. Like I don't buy the money thing ever. There's right. always
well, that's different from the situation though. Like
no, well, maybe like... this doesn't have anything to do with it. I just you saying that made me think. I don't buy it. I hate money as an excuse for anything. Money is a terrible excuse not to live your life.
No, yeah, you can have tons of adventures without spending any money.
I just to a quick addendum to that. I did leave home 6 years before going to college. I didn't.
Oh,
leave to
yeah,
go to
yeah, that's true.
First of all, everybody's got to go their own way.
Yeah.
You know, and some people's way is to just stay. Some people stay at home and they have reasons to do that. Maybe reasons that you don't know about, and that maybe it's about their family, or maybe they just don't have the same wanderlust you do. I know that that can create a huge divide between people, and it was a huge divide for me. Like that was almost like when I left, that was just almost it. That was almost the end of my contact with people.
Yeah.
The thing that I think I take issue with in this. I understand being frustrated with your old friends, but you are blaming them for being alone too much?
Yeah, that's big.
That's not their fault.
Yeah, you need some new friends.
Yeah, Turkey, you moved away. You went to college. You're in the working world. Go. Well, you can.
I don't know that he's in a different town. It sounds like he is.
Do you think it's a he? I have for some reason thought it was a girl, because only girls write us.
I thought it was a dude.
Okay, it's a dude.
But yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's a fella in another town who's just complaining at his friends for not, I don't know, moving into the same city or something.
I understand the being frustrated with people, but for me, it kind of just went away. Sooner or later, you realize that their lives are out of your hands, and they're going to live their lives one way or the other. And your tension that you're building, like the hostility you're building for them not doing what you think they should be doing, is not helping anybody. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is, you can't blame them for you being alone too much. One, first of all, being alone is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it's not their fault. Like, go get some new friends. It's not, you can get new friends.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
I feel like these old friends are happy, and that's why they don't care.
Yeah, maybe they're fine. Maybe they're all at home having a fun party while you're out
working
all alone in the big city.
Doing the 9 to 5-er.
Yeah. Maybe they know what's up. I think that you need to just let them live their lives, and you need to live your new life and make some new bros.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't be too hard on them. What's next, Murray?
I've been sleeping with a close friend of mine, and he has before made it clear that he doesn't care about the whole girlfriend label and everything that goes along with it. But he's also never made it clear how he feels about monogamy. We've never talked about us. Outside of the bedroom, we carry along as if nothing's changed between us. I'm enjoying my time with him, but don't want to end it. But at the risk of sounding like a hoe, I want to go out and explore myself sexually more in several strings of no strings attached sex. I think this thing with my friend is NSA, but we've never been clear. How do dudes feel about that kind of thing? Can I say that I like that this person said several more strings of no strings attached sex?
That's like ATM machine almost.
A little bit. But there's no strings.
No, there's no strings. Well, I have two things to say about this. First of all, I do not, whatever Mari will say, I do not believe in no strings attached sex. I simply do not believe it exists. Okay. I really don't. I think people pretend it do, or pretend it does, but I don't think it does. Also, why are you asking us? Why don't you talk to him?
If you, yeah, come on. You know what it's, I've never talked to him about this. How does he feel, you guys?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I understand why she's asking us, but we're just going to tell her to ask him.
If you're just wanting general dude idea, I think you're going to get almost opposite. This is my feeling is that we're going to give you
opposite answers. That's what I was hoping for, yeah.
So that's not going to help you. I don't believe that no strings attached sex exists. I also think that the fact that you're even worried about it, there's strings attached. If you're worried about doing this and hurting him, there's strings attached for you that maybe you're not acknowledging, and probably strings for him.
Well, it sounds like she's worried of, oh yeah, she's worried about hurting him, but only because of the sex, it seems like.
Yeah, but there's strings. There's strings. Sex is a string. That's all it is. When you have sex with someone, that's a connection.
It's a bunch of strings coming.
It really is. It's just, there's a connection there. You're connecting with someone.
And that's what makes it so great.
On the one hand, if you do feel like you need to go and explore yourself more, I think that you can do that. Just be safe and healthy. Mm-hmm. I think don't do it behind this guy's back. Now, maybe for all I know, you'll talk to him and he'll say, whatever, it's totally fine. Go do it.
Yeah.
It's not one of those things where I think you should do it and then say, we were cool, right? Because I just slept with a bunch of dudes.
It sounds like this guy is pretty open-minded, maybe, and it could be a thing that's just all in your head.
I don't know. I know that maybe it's just because I'm a little older. I don't know. But the situations that I've seen people in like this always end so badly.
Like what?
They just end. It's happened for me. It's happened for just people that they think it's a casual thing or an open thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then something happens and like, oh, wait, I really have feelings. Or like, I'm emotionally invested in this and now I'm ruined.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's not. You got to be careful of that.
Oh yeah.
And it's so careful to take it, you know, think it's no big deal or it's totally fine. But I don't. Maybe it's just the way I was raised, but sex is a big deal. And if you're totally casual about it, like it's again, maybe one of those things that it's your attitude towards it makes it more special. Like if it's just totally whatever and you're just going to sleep with dudes just for the experience of it, I think that's just cheap and not that, I wouldn't get anything out of that.
No, yeah, me neither. And I think what Scott's, maybe people need more background about me. I'm in an open relationship right now. And the deal is that I'm dating a girl who is dating a guy, and they have a long distance thing. And it's not no strings attached because, you know, we go on dates and we hang out and we watch movies and I don't know. We do like pretty much everything.
Couple-y things.
Yeah. It's not even about the sex. It's just about like having someone to be with.
No, and Mario, I was honestly, I wasn't even.
No, type. No. I'm not like offended at all. I just feel like people need some background.
But I was referring more to me of even being in situations that I thought were maybe not a lot of strings there. And then one day it was like, whoa, tons of strings.
And coming from the other person?
Both. Strings that I had that I didn't even realize there were strings there. Like, oh, hey, strings. Had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's hard to realize that until you try to pull away and suddenly there's a ton of strings holding you to get all tangled up.
Okay.
Like a little cat. I would say, you know, if you want to give it a go, you give it a go. Just, you need to talk to the dude, I think.
Yeah, that's right? The bottom line.
No, dude, there's not like a stock dude's answer. There's not a dude handbook that we can look to. Is there?
I feel like I can think of tons of dudes who would be totally into no strings attached. Because that's the way they're programmed. And then there's tons of dudes who want relationships and go for that.
Yeah, good luck. Just get out there. Be safe if you're gonna.
Just ask him.
Yeah, do that too. What's next?
My best friend's boyfriend told me today that I give better blowjobs than his girlfriend. He did, in fact, know this from personal experience.
My first problem with this, I have maybe two problems with this. My first problem is, why didn't he tell us?
This other person?
Why didn't the guy
say my, wait, okay, hold on.
He should have written us and said this. This is not appropriate to say to your, this is not, this is begging for trouble. You don't go to your girlfriend's friend and say, hey, you give way better blowjobs than my current girlfriend. You come to us. We are offering a service.
That's a pretty good secret, though.
It's a great secret.
This guy that I know, he's crazy, okay? And he tells me all the time that I'm way better than him. Or than his girlfriend.
I don't know. I think that he sounds like a creepo, and that you should not say that if you're in a real, if you're in a committed, serious relationship. You don't need to go around telling people.
Yeah, what
people.
A weirdo.
But you can tell us. That's what we're here for.
But you know, maybe it was one of those like things where he was trying to cheer up this person and
hey,
come on.
So she got like it's not so bad. She got an F on her report card in blowjobs. And he was like,
No, that's not true.
No, you're great at blowjobs. Hey, you're better than somebody that
yeah.
I know.
Huh? Yeah. I feel like this is part of what we want people to tell us. Like, I'm good at this. Because this person has
a special talent.
Some sort of
a special star.
Validation from an outside source.
No, that's nice. And she can't tell her friend anything, but it does sound like a loser jerk thing to say to somebody.
That is very strange of someone to say that.
I've been in positions where I've wanted to kind of say something like, not this explicit, but what if the friend's listening to the podcast right now? How does she feel right now? The girlfriend.
She is just, well, maybe she wrote in.
Oh,
later.
Do you think that's, my gosh.
It could be her.
We should just move on.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
What's next?
I tell my boyfriend I'm busy and can't hang out, but really I'm just too tired/lazy to get out of bed and make myself look presentable. I really, really like him, but I'm just not used to being a part of a couple yet. Is this me being just irrational, or is it something else?
Here's what I think about this.
What?
Well, it's that lady thing.
Well,
especially, yeah. I don't want to pass judgment. This is my impression of it.
That
and
is
I don't
so sexist, Scott.
No. To me, it spells a little bit of high maintenance. And it's like that thing where you've been dating a guy for a little while, but he's only seen you, on date night when you're a little bit made up. Maybe he hasn't seen you in the sweatpants and the no makeup and the ponytail.
That's like the best part, though.
I love that part. Yeah. I don't like high maintenance or makeup or any of that nonsense, some dudes do. And maybe she's worried about. Maybe what you're worried about here is exposing him to that next level you without your makeup on.
Right.
But it's got to happen sooner or later. And you may find that he's more receptive to that. I personally hate makeup. I think it's super gross. But if it's about just wanting some alone time, like, that's fine. I don't think you have to lie to him about it.
If you're tired, yeah, don't like put yourself into positions where you're tired and lazy and don't want to do anything and just go out of your way to make someone else happy. I mean, you got to take care of yourself.
Take care of yourself by just laying in bed all day?
Just lay there.
I know that's your tip. I know that's your preference.
You just got to, okay. Life would be so perfect if I was a cat.
And you could just lay in bed all day.
That's all I want to do. But then they say, or is it something else?
To me, it's just you're just some insecurity about the sweatpants. That's all it is. And I think that's pretty normal, but I think it's got to happen sooner or later. Like he's got to. Or do you think you're always going to be like, if you get married and live together, he'll never see you in anything?
I feel like if he spends the night, he's going to see this.
It's going to happen. They're not used to being part of a couple yet. This is all fine. I think this is okay. If you really, really like him, you're probably going to have to let him in a little bit. To me, the pure comfort, like when you're in pure comfort zone with somebody, is way better than the glammed up date night thing. When you can both just be messy haired and bad breath, tangled up in the morning.
That's fun.
I think that's really nice. And I think that's more what the reality of a relationship is. It's not about the makeup and the dress on Friday night. It's about how you guys are and how you interact when you are your real self. And I think that is where important real relationships flourish is when people are real together, not when you've got to meet on Friday night and be all jazzed up.
I feel like I let myself go though in my past relationship.
Okay, in what way did you let yourself go?
My hair was just so long, and I don't know.
You stopped wearing makeup.
I didn't really care about my appearance, which is, I don't know. I look at these old pictures and I'm like, man, I look terrible. Like, I don't know. I looked just tired and gross.
But look at you now.
Look at me now.
You're at the top of your game.
No.
Lady, I think you're doing okay. Yeah. You just... ease into it comfortably, but
I don't think
setting a precedent for deception is a good way to start out if you're really liking this dude. You want to cruise on?
Yeah. So this is the person that Scott and I were talking about.
Okay. Here. Yeah.
Who Blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'll just jump into it. I'm 24 and do not feel I have the ability to give a decent blowjob. Last time I tried, it was instructional slash embarrassingly not sexy. I guess I'm worried about doing it right and appearing to know what I'm doing, or at least feel more confident about trying things. I'm actually interested in a relationship now, and I know that usually means somewhat gradually working up to sex and offering other options when necessary.
What's that? There's an obvious answer here. Do you want to just get it out of the way? Tell her the obvious answer.
What is it?
You don't know what the obvious answer is? Do you want to get better at giving blowjobs?
Just give better blowjobs?
No. What? You watch porn?
Okay.
You just watch porn. Like, there are professionals. There are pros out there that are doing this every day. They've practiced. They've honed it. They've refined it to an art.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. Do you have any advice you want to give this person?
I feel like every dude is a little different. And I don't think the instructional thing is bad. You know? I feel like that can be sexy.
Okay. And I think that you hit the nail on the head. Everybody's a little different. And I think the art to this activity and any activity isn't that you go in with the playbook. Like, these are the rules. Like,
yeah.
And I think, weirdly enough, that there's a documentary. That Ron Jeremy has a documentary.
Oh, yeah?
And I think it's called Porn Star, The Legend of Ron Jeremy. Huh. And it's just kind of about, you know, it's this tubby, goofy
guy.
What
could it possibly be about?
There's a lot of eating cake. No, but one of the things he talks about is how it's his strategy for giving head to a girl. And he prides himself on his ability. Mm-hmm. But what he kind of, the point of it kind of is that there's no right way. Like, some girls respond to 3 times clockwise, 1 times counterclockwise, and some girls are the other. Like, it is all about the person's response. It is not about you doing the right thing or the wrong thing on paper. It is about playing their body like an instrument and recognizing when you're doing something right. And if they, it's a two-way street, because I think part of being a receptive lover is knowing how to let the other person know when they're doing something you enjoy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that way it is instructional without being, you know, rigidly, awkwardly instructional.
Right, right.
Also, and if it comes up to that, I don't think it, I mean, I wouldn't be deterred by a girl who's told me that she doesn't feel like she's very good at this because she hasn't done it a lot. I think that would be okay with me.
That's fine. Yeah.
I would be pretty okay with that. And I think that I would be very willing to help.
Yeah. I think the dude has to take some of the blame for this, because if he's not being helpful, then how are you supposed to learn?
Yeah. There's really not a right way to do it. You can go look at, there's plenty of tricks. If you just want like a bag of tricks to go check out some porn. There's plenty of little tricks you can do. But really what it's going to be about is paying attention to what the recipient is enjoying and then pursuing that. And if they're playing, you know, if they're holding up their end of the bargain, they're going to be letting you know in some way that you're doing the right thing. You're plucking the right chords.
Yeah, I'm just confused about this weird sex that they're having where like no one's having fun.
It's just completely instructional. Just there's bad. Some slides. There's some books.
There's a PowerPoint. Yeah.
There's a PowerPoint presentation. I don't think that's not bad. The instructional thing, because if you're not willing to do that and you're both just, if you're self-conscious about one, if you're self-conscious about it, that's going to mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
And two, if he isn't enjoying it, but he's not willing to kind of help you along, that's going to mess it up too. And I think it might be wise to just kind of be upfront about it and say that, I'm not super experienced about this, but I would like to get better. Especially, I think if you tell a fella that you want to practice until you get good at it, he will be quite receptive, I think.
Come on.
Yeah, come on. Like, what? Jeez. How? There's no sensible person would turn that down.
Yeah.
Practice all you want. Practice makes perfect. Everybody knows that. The way you're going to get good is practicing. And I think that, that doesn't mean go, you know, just go down on a bunch of dudes, but if you meet a guy you like, maybe be upfront about the fact that you want to get better about it. And I think it'll work itself out.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll do okay.
I think we did well with this question.
Yeah, I think we did really great. And I'm glad that I could plug the Ron Jeremy documentary. I saw him in person. He came, it was at the Dolby Theater, Dolby Mall in Austin. And it was a screening of the movie and he came and talked.
Dolby? Okay. Should I watch it?
Yeah, watch it. Maybe you'll learn a thing or two, Maury.
Oh, God.
Speaking of.
Whenever I'm home alone and masturbating, I like to be as obnoxiously loud about it as possible.
So what part? Okay, I'm fine with this.
Uh-huh.
But what exactly are they turning the volume up on?
When they masturbate, they aim at a gong.
Okay. Do you think that's what it is? So
it's like a Rube Goldberg machine where the gong hits fan, okay, and the fan
and then
knocks
a mouse
over,
runs, and then a parakeet gets
a balloon,
a tail pulled. So I'm having trouble visualizing this.
Okay.
One end is like maybe they're watching porn, they're turning up the porn.
Mm-hmm.
One end, maybe it's a girl.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe she likes to just moan really loud.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe like, I don't know what else. Bang pots and pans with your left hand.
This person probably wears like a bunch of bells around their wrists and then just
jingle jangles all over the place. I think it's fine. I think that it's healthy to, if you like it and it helps you out, that's your time. Mm-hmm. You do whatever.
Yeah. I think Corey stopped listening to the podcast. So I'm going to say that I like to do this too.
You like to be loud?
Yeah.
Do you really?
I like to make noise when I'm doing things.
Okay.
And turning the volume up is fine. And
wait, your volume.
Volume, and if I'm watching something that volume.
Oh, turn the volume.
Also.
Okay. Can I tell you what this reminds me of?
What?
I knew a guy.
Uh-huh.
I went to school with him. We weren't particularly close. He's an okay guy. His name was Hamde Mala.
What?
And I remember, I don't remember
what
if I heard it from him.
Hamde Mala.
It's a Muslim name. Are you racist? I don't know. I don't remember now if I later heard this from him,
mm-hmm,
or if I heard it secondhand.
Okay.
But
okay,
Hamde made it a discovery. And he really liked it when the girl he was having sex with got really loud. That was something that he really enjoyed.
Okay.
And he discovered that when you sleep with deaf girls.
Oh my gosh.
They don't. I feel terrible for saying this. This was not me who said this. This is just me relaying this information. But he said that deaf girls don't know how loud they're being.
Oh.
So they get crazy loud. And he loved it.
I don't think that's terrible.
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to see, I don't want to say like it's any kind of negative thing or anything at all, but they got nothing to lose.
Yeah,
they don't have any volume meter. So he said they just got crazy loud and he loved it.
That's awesome. But I feel like we're going to get an email next week and it's going to be like, you guys are awful for this and this and this.
No, it wasn't me. It was not me. Mari's a racist and it's not.
I just didn't. I was just trying to place the name.
Oh, okay. His name is Hamde Mala, if I remember correctly. I don't know if this was something that he made a habit of. Like once he did it, you know, once you go deaf, you don't go back. That doesn't have quite the ring to it. But I don't know if he, you know, if once that happened, he was like, this is it for me. This is, I've made a choice.
Do you think
I'm going to stick with this choice.
He started pursuing deaf girls after, I mean.
I don't know. You know, according to the movie Babel, like deaf girls might be a little lonely, a little, it's hard for them to communicate. They might want to have sex.
No, she was mute.
And deaf.
No, she was mute. She was like a voluntary mute, wasn't she?
I thought she was deaf.
Or not voluntary, like psychologically or something.
I thought she was deaf. And all her friends were deaf because they were doing sign language. And they.
Am I thinking of
she
the
read
same?
Lips.
Am I thinking of the same girl? Is that the same girl?
The Asian girl who took off her clothes to the policeman. Okay. Pretty sure she.
Oh
read
yeah,
lips.
I guess they were doing. Yeah, she was deaf.
She was deaf. Probably crazy loud in the sack.
I guess so.
Probably so. More power to you. Mar, did you send this in? Was this?
No,
you?
No, this isn't me. I've thought a lot about sending some stuff in. I forget what it would be about, but I've thought about it a lot. Have you sent any in?
I have not. Let's what we got one. What's this one more? Oh, wait, two more, right?
Oh man, this one.
Okay,
man, this is just switching.
It is a sad one. We're
switching
moods here
completely.
Let's hear.
I sometimes think about killing myself just to see who would miss me.
Does this make you sad? I think everybody fantasizes.
We've
about
all
this.
Been there. I was just listening to a Biggie Small song, and he talks about suicide. I can't believe this is on my fucking mind. Is what
oh,
he
Biggie.
Says. Yeah. I can't believe suicide's on my fucking
I think
mind.
About suicide pretty much every day. And it's almost just a novelty now because I it's to the point, you know, there's a point that you just know you're not going to do it, probably.
Yeah.
And so
you've gone this long.
And then, but you just.
I'm not like trying to discredit you or anything.
No, you don't think I'll do it?
You don't got the
guts. You don't do it right now, live on the air?
Oh,
who will edit this podcast?
No.
I think everybody does this.
Yeah.
And I think. There's one kind of self-defeating element of this is if you do actually kill yourself, you will not know what happened. So the only thing you can do is fake your death.
I've thought about that sometimes too.
I've thought about that plenty.
Yeah.
Especially in adolescence. I think that's just something everybody thinks about. I think it's totally normal. I think You know, that they'll be sorry when I'm gone. Kind of sentiment. They will be sorry when I'm gone. Yeah. Mario. You'll be sorry when I'm gone, Mario. although this did just bring something to mind that uh-huh. I think. Have you seen the movie Harold and Maude?
I haven't. It's like one of those movies, but I just haven't.
It's pretty amazing. But Harold's hobby is faking his own death.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very good at it.
Okay.
And he's done it enough times that his mother doesn't faze her at all.
Uh-huh.
So she'll walk in and he'll be,
Like running away from home, kind of.
A little bit, but he gets very, he takes it very, very far. It's also a beautiful movie. And I highly recommend it.
There's so many movies.
It is a lovely, it's a beautiful love story.
Yeah.
About a morbid young man and an elderly woman.
Okay. I don't want this person to kill themselves because I love them.
Do you?
Yeah.
You wouldn't know that if you were dead.
I would miss you.
Would you stop loving them if they killed themselves?
I guess.
Although maybe this is a time that you need to just look across the room and look at that somebody that's with you and say, like, Mari, I would miss you if you killed yourself. Don't kill yourself.
Okay. This wasn't me either. Just,
are you sure?
Just to clear it
Mari,
up.
Mari, but maybe I kind of feel like all these were from you today.
A lot of them were, but...
was the blowjob one for you?
I'm not 24.
Yet.
Yeah. I guess.
I think everybody thinks about this. I think that it's actually a pretty normal thing, and I wouldn't worry too much about it.
You know what though? I used to write lots of super sad Zanga blog posts, sometimes about this sort of thing. Not because I was intentionally searching for attention, but it's just how I communicated. You know, I liked typing, and then hitting publish and something was cathartic about that.
Yeah, you get it out of your system a little
bit. And people were super surprised that I had these dark thoughts. I think I was like one of the few in my group of friends who was like this. So maybe this person, I imagine this person's pretty young, and maybe they just don't have that morbid sense of humor.
Well, I don't know. I mean, my view of it is life is really terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that there's no reason not to think about killing yourself every day. But
oh man,
it's just
that sounds kind of great.
just keep it as a keep that in your back pocket. Just that's a little fantasy. That's just something to cheer you up.
Everything would be so simple. You just wouldn't have to think about anything.
That's kind of the funniest thing about it is that it is something that cheers you. You get like a satisfaction from them. Like they'd be so sorry.
Oh, yeah.
It's thinking about the most morbid thing possible. And then
I don't want to kill anybody. But if I killed myself, it'd be awesome.
Would it?
Yeah, because everyone would be super sad.
They should have treated you better.
Yeah.
Should have. If only we...
I bet my comics career would just skyrocket, and they'd have to publish all of my sketchbooks and... Oh, man.
You'd be huge if you were dead.
Yep.
All right, maybe smart career move.
Yeah. Eventually.
Yeah, one of these days, I think you want to make a move.
When I'm ready.
We got one more, right?
Hey there. I've had a crush on a teacher before. He was divorced and single. I know it's gross and wrong, and I would never actually do anything. Kablam.
Kablam.
Smiley face.
Is that gross and wrong?
A teacher? Just because, it depends on what you're referring to. Is it gross and wrong to think about it, or is it gross and wrong to
he's single.
Marry
he's
your teacher?
It's a free agent.
I've known people who've had sex with their teachers before, but that's like college.
Is this high school? This is probably high school.
I imagine it's high school.
So she's probably too young. It's probably not really gross and wrong. I think people have crushes on their teachers all the time.
Yeah.
I had a crush on my seventh grade teacher, Miss Baskin.
Miss Basket?
No, it was Miss Baskin.
Was she heir to the Baskin-Robbins fortune?
I don't know. She was just, just something about her.
Describe her to me.
She looked beautiful.
She was beautiful and she was nice.
She was really nice to me. She's my English teacher.
Uh-huh.
I think I even liked her enough that I maybe even actually did some work in that class, which was rare.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was about her. Just something. She just charmed me.
Did she have her? She have glasses and her hair in a bun.
No, she had dark hair, blue eyes, beautiful.
That sounds nice.
She's beautiful.
Yeah.
I can't exactly remember what she looked like. I tried to picture her, and all I can see is Sally Field.
Who's Sally Field? Is that a girl in your class?
Sally Field?
Or what?
No, she's an actress.
Actress.
Actress Sally Field.
An actress of what?
I think she's been a million things.
I just Googled actress Field.
Yeah.
It's not helping.
Fried Green Tomatoes?
I didn't see that.
Not Without My Daughter?
Oh, she seems pretty enough. I don't know. She's got that, like, that look about her.
That Southern mom look? I don't know. I had a pretty substantial crush on... I was a little older. I was 20 years old. And I had a crush on my yoga teacher.
Uh-huh.
And who was 10 years older than me.
Okay.
And her name was Giaconda.
Was what?
She had changed her name to Giaconda.
Gia? Is Gia her first name?
Giaconda.
One word. Giaconda. One word.
Yeah.
Is it just Madonna, one of those things? Or?
Well, it's, you know, the actual name of the Mona Lisa is La Giaconda.
I didn't know
and
that.
I think that's where she got
so she looked kind of round and had a
no
exposed forehead.
She's a yoga teacher.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know all about yoga teachers.
She was in amazing shape. She could do these things with her body.
Oh, man.
And she was beautiful. But she was 10 years older than me. She was 20, and I didn't have the confidence.
You were 20.
Excuse me. I was 20.
Yeah.
She was 30, and I just didn't have the... I feel like, in retrospect, she was maybe potentially game for something.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't know how to handle it. Because later, not much later, I found out that she was dating a guy who was maybe 25 or 24.
Okay.
A bit older than me, yeah, but still significantly younger.
Younger.
And maybe even I was just really stupid about it. Because I would invite her over for, and I would cook her huge meals, giant breakfasts, things like
what?
That. Really extravagant meals.
Breakfast?
Yeah, I would cook 5 or 6 course meals.
You never do that stuff for me.
I know. I don't do that for me. I would cook these, you know, we'd have muffins and French toast and tofu scramble and all the just huge spreads of food.
Yeah.
That she would just eat a tiny bit of because she had to go teach a class. We'd hung out, you know, I would take her classes. We would see each other a lot because I worked at one of the gyms for a while that she worked at. And
mm-hmm.
This is embarrassing.
Uh-oh.
But I actually, you know, earlier I was talking about when you're just too shy and awkward and you don't know what to do, that you write a letter.
What did you wrote her a letter?
Yeah.
What, did you tell her that you liked her?
Yeah.
Did you sign it with, do you like me, yes or no?
Okay, here's the thing.
Was it anonymous?
No, it was not anonymous. Okay. I gave it to her after class one day and I walked out because I was so embarrassed. And then she talked to me about it. She said it was very nice. She asked me to dinner. We went and had dinner at a place nearby. It was a nice restaurant. And we talked about it.
What?
But somehow, uh-huh. And I don't know if it was she just very skillfully, without hurting my feelings, put it to rest.
Okay.
Or if she came back with it kind of open, like, that was really nice. I liked what you had to say. And I just didn't know what to do to take the next steps. There are even times that she would come to my house and we'd be there kind of late at night, like falling asleep watching a movie.
What?
And I was...
What? Who is this? I don't know you as this Scott at all. Who's inviting like older women over all the time and watching movies?
I don't know what it was. I'd never quite had this kind of crush on somebody. Because, no, I even looking back at myself, I'm just astonished by it. And, you know, this was like, you know, it's after I'd moved to Austin. I was still kind of upset about some things. I was still sort of confused and struggling with this new life uh-huh. I developed. And I, for whatever reason, I just didn't know how to progress.
How did nothing happen?
I don't know. I don't know.
Did you hold hands?
I don't know. Nothing romantic.
You didn't kiss her?
Never. Never. And I don't know. I think usually what often happens in a scenario like that is I just will like, I set up the stage, like dinner, movie, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the girl goes for it. Maybe that's why I tend to do better with girls that are a little more aggressive.
Yeah.
But for some reason, nothing ever came from it.
I feel like as the older woman, she should know how to handle that sort of situation.
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. Or maybe she just was not interested at all in that me in that regard. Or uh-huh. maybe I didn't express it quite right. Or whatever. Whatever. I mean, I don't know what it was about that situation that didn't add up. And maybe on one end of the scale, it was just that she handled it very well. She wasn't interested, but she was able to masterfully handle it without hurting my feelings.
Uh-huh.
Which would be a masterstroke because my feelings are easily hurt.
Yeah.
Or on the other end, it just didn't pan out. And but,
okay, so you said that you found out later that she was dating a dude who was 25, 24.
Yeah, this was quite a bit later.
So
6
this,
months later.
This was after.
Yeah.
This wasn't during.
No. Okay. No, this was quite a bit later.
So she was on the market.
Yeah.
Huh.
And I just did it wrong. Or she wasn't interested. Who knows?
That's so weird. But you I know you've been in contact with her over the years.
Occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's 40, right?
Yeah. I was in Austin recently. I thought about going.
Is she still teaching yoga?
I don't know. Here's another thing.
Uh-huh.
Now that I think about it.
Okay.
I mean, I've for a lot of years kept a pretty steady record of all of, you know, my documents, files on the computer.
Mm-hmm, 'cause you're a nerd.
Pretty sure I still have that letter on my computer. And I am terrified to look at it.
Why?
Because I'm sure it is the stupidest thing.
You should read it next episode.
Do you think that I should post it?
Should you read it right now?
Can we make some kind of deal, like some kind of bargain? Like if we get, what should it be? What's the milestone where I will read this probably humiliating letter? 1,000 likes on Facebook. Is it going to be 10,000 downloads in a week? I think it needs to be pretty high because this is pretty, a substantially... I am so embarrassed, I can't even look at it.
It's okay. We can ask for Facebook likes. 1,000? If we have 1,000 downloads, how come we don't have 1,000 likes?
Okay.
I don't understand.
We'll say right now.
1,000?
1,000 likes on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I will post this cripplingly embarrassing letter that I wrote 10 years ago to my yoga instructor that I had a crush on.
And you guys, that's probably, I mean, it says 1,000 downloads. I'm assuming there's one person for each download.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
You don't even have to like pimp it out to your friends.
That Mari probably wants to read this.
I'm going to hack into Scott's computer later and find it for you guys.
I am nervous about this whole, I don't think I want to read it before I post it. I don't think I'm going to read it at all. I'm just going to post it.
It can't be that bad.
I'm sure it's awful.
Well, yeah.
1,000 likes on Facebook and I will post it.
I feel like 1,000 is super doable. People are just lazy.
Okay, no, we'll do it. 1,000 likes on Facebook and I will post this painfully embarrassing remnant of my youth.
We will add a link in the show notes. It can't be that, please. What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I
don't think I have any real big teacher crushes. I have a crush on a comics teacher, I guess.
Well, that's because everyone who's ever seen her does.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's
powerful.
Yeah.
She's a powerful woman.
For those of you who don't know, my comics teacher in college was Ellen Forney. And
she's amazing.
I still get butterflies when she emails me.
She's like a powerful, she's got one of those personalities that just, when she's there, she's just.
I think she's like 5'4 or something. She's pretty short.
But everybody's got a crush on her.
She's got this heat, like this presence though.
She does. And she has this, I think she has an aura of sexuality.
Hmm. She does.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like she gesticulates a lot and like
she's
a lot
just
of
very physical, lots of eye contact.
Yeah. No, she's got super intense eyes, like a lion.
Oh my gosh. She's pretty amazing.
And I don't have any embarrassing stories with her really because there's like nothing to tell. But the first time I ever saw Ellen Forney in person was when I was high on mushrooms. Or no. High on
life,
on brownies, I think.
Okay, pot brownies.
On weed brownies, and everyone was freaking out. And we went to this thing at this music festival in Seattle called Bumbershoot, and it was a burlesque show.
Was she in it?
No, she wasn't doing burlesque. Well, she was in the show, but she wasn't in the burlesque part. Okay. She did a live comics reading, and it was amazing. And she had these slides. And They kind of
panned. The I Love Led Zeppelin thing?
It was amazing. It was like music and comics, and it was a really good presentation. She was really cool. And then I think immediately after that, there was a burlesque show, and all of a sudden, a girl came out and started making lemonade on her body.
Whoa.
And there were kids present. It was so weird. And I wasn't sure if it was weird because I was on drugs or if it was something else. It was the strangest experience. And then our friend called us from the bathroom and we had to take him to the hospital. And everyone got mad at us and we had to take a super expensive taxi. And that was that.
The end.
And everyone lived happily ever after.
And that's the end of episode 11.
Yep.
I have two notes.
Okay.
One of those notes is following up our extravagant sweepstakes giveaway.
Okay.
Of one autographed copy of Letters to Myself.
Do I have to autograph it?
Yes, you do. You're contractually obligated. This book, which is written by me and illustrated by Mari.
Uh-huh.
We said that we would pick somebody who jumped through the hoops, tweeted Free Corey, did it, and then I randomly picked a winner.
One of the five people.
One of the hundreds of thousands of people that tweeted this.
Uh-huh.
And the winner is Ian Anderson of Citric Comics.
Oh.
He's the winner. Uh-huh. Everybody should go check out Citric Comics.
Citric Comics. Yeah, he's a good dude.
Go check it out. Yeah. Also, speaking of the book, another shout out to Baby Giraffes.
Oh, yeah?
I got some tweets
from,
I think, Timmy of Baby Giraffes, and he had some nice things to say about the book. You're not going to believe this. He actually read the words.
He didn't look at the pictures.
He didn't just look at the pictures, maybe the first person. And I went and checked out some of their jams, some of their raps.
They've got good raps.
Yeah, go check out their raps.
I feel like it's just the one guy, though, isn't it?
I think it's two fellas.
Okay.
I only talked to one guy.
Is it one MC and one DJ?
I don't know the rules. I know that I think that Timmy of Baby Giraffes is in charge of the Twitter account, and that's who tweeted at me.
Okay.
And he gave a ringing endorsement for the book. He said that it cures diseases. And so I think a lot of people are going to buy it.
Okay,
now.
Maybe it'll cure my hypertrichosis.
Probably will. Maybe would you like a copy of the book that you worked on?
I guess I should probably have one, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should have one. You also get another present today. You get a 3DS.
Oh, my God.
You get your consolation prize.
I was trying to tell someone about this, about how you bought me a 3DS for no reason.
I was trying to explain it to people at work, and they didn't understand.
I just get blank stares and knowing O's.
Sometimes you got to give Mari a present. I think that's it for our notes.
That's all I got.
That's all we got here. So, you know, all this nonsense. You got to tweet at us at Kiss and Tellcast. You got to Facebook us. You got to Tumble us. You got to website us. You got to iTunes us. You got to review us. You got to do all this nonsense. But the most important thing, which I think a lot of you unfortunately forgot this week, even though we had a lot of downloads, was send us your secrets or we got nothing to talk about. You got to go to kissandtellcast.com/tell and tell us your secrets. It's been a while since we've had, you know, kind of a crazy knocked out of the park butter sprinkles handjob style secret, and I'm a little disappointed with the world.
Well, maybe the themes were helping.
Were they helping or were they hindering?
I feel like it got the juices flowing a little bit.
Did it a little bit? So
even if people didn't send in secrets about the themes at all, it might have helped.
So do you think the theme this week is teachers?
Hot for teacher, yes.
Hot for teacher is the theme. I'm glad we're on the same page
that
immediately.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay, so the theme for next week is hot for teacher. And go and like us on Facebook, if only so Mari can have the satisfaction of reading my hugely embarrassing, personal, very private, very personal letter. I think that is it for episode 11. Thanks for listening. Send us those secrets. Tweet at us. Like us on Facebook. Go to iTunes. Do all that nonsense. And we will hear from you next week with your Hot for Teacher stories.
Yes, please.
Thanks for tuning in. Bye.
Bye.